From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. A salute to all of our military veterans on this Veterans Day. Coming up with Veterans Day in mind, we'll talk with a retired Air Force general who is now a member of Congress. Nebraska Congressman Don Bacon joins us with a look at the path ahead for our nation's military under a Nancy Pelosi-led Congress. And as we focus on honoring our veterans for their service to the country, the U.S. Supreme Court is taking up a case which is at the intersection of veterans' monuments and religious liberty. We'll talk with one of the attorneys at First Liberty, which is handling what is sure to be a precedent-setting case in the Bladensburg Memorial Cross case. Marine veteran and attorney Mike Berry is here on that story. Also, our troops make many sacrifices to defend freedom, and yet when they return home, very often employers don't always fully appreciate their full range of skills and their talents. But that is not the case in Texas. Texas Attorney General's office in particular, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, is taking the initiative to hire our veterans here at home. We'll talk with him about his office's outreach to veterans a little later on Washington Watch. And since it is Veterans Day, I want to hear from our veterans. Do you support President Trump's efforts to rebuild our military? What else in the rebuilding process is yet to be done, in your opinion? We'll talk about that when we open up our phone lines a little bit later here on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. All right, it has been not quite a week since we knew that the Democrats won control of the House of Representatives. And what does this mean for the president's agenda, in particular as it applies to the military? The president has been about rebuilding our nation's military, both from a material standpoint, more funding, but also a morale standpoint, ending the social experimentation that it had become really known for under the Obama era. Will the new majority simply use its power? We'll talk about this to just harass the Trump administration, or will they do even more by trying to undo what the Trump administration has done in terms of reforms? With us now is Congressman Don Bacon. He represents the 2nd Congressional District of Nebraska and serves on the House Armed Services Committee as well as the House Homeland Security Committee. He retired from the Air Force in 2014. During his career in the Air Force, Congressman Bacon specialized in electronic warfare, intelligence, reconnaissance, and public affairs. He served 16 assignments, including four deployments, three of which were in the Middle East, and one assignment to Iraq in 2007 and 8 during Operation Iraqi Freedom. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you very much, and belated Happy Veterans Day to you.
Same to you. Thank you so much, General. Appreciate you joining us on this Veterans Day. By the way, congratulations on winning re-election to Congress.
Well, we're one of those purple districts, so we felt good to come get by with a good win.
It is. Hard work pays off. I want to talk about, you know, on the House Armed Services Committee, you've been a vocal advocate for the military and for their families. What impact do you see the switch that's going to be taking place in January of leadership? Are you going to have to fight more difficult? Is the fight going to be more difficult to rebuild our nation's military?
It will be. You know, the Democratic leadership in the Armed Services Committee has been resistant on the 10% increase that we gave the defense budget. They pushed back. And really, they want that money spent towards other domestic programs and social kinds of programs. But we cut the military 18% for 2010, the last year. We put 10% in last year, so we restored 60% of those cuts. And it took a lot of work to do that. But the leadership pushed back out of it a little bit. I wouldn't say much. But what worries me is they want to reduce our triad in the nuclear forces down to a dyad. They want to get rid of our nuclear ICBMs. And there's some other things they want to do there. Push back on the Space Force. There's some areas I think will be pushing us backwards with the Democratic Congress. Thankfully, they don't have the Senate. So we probably won't see their policies enacted. But it's going to be more gridlock for sure. And thankfully, we have the Senate and the President that will probably push back on a Nancy Pelosi national strategic policy.
Congressman Bacon, my take on this is that the President will continue, hopefully with the encouragement of the Republicans in the House and the Senate, as you point out, that still remains under Republican control, to rebuild our military, because this isn't something that can be done in 2 years. It's not even something that can be done in 4 years. I think it's a decade or more that's going to require to catch our military up to where it needs to be at full readiness and strength. What I'm concerned about is this, is that Nancy Pelosi and crew will hold the military rebuilding process hostage to increasing domestic spending, is my fear.
And it's the past 2 years. We did not want to increase spending in many areas, but to get the 10% increase in the defense budget, Chuck Schumer in the Senate, to prevent a filibuster, said, hey, you got to give us a dollar for dollar. We talked them down to $1.70. So $1 for defense, 70 cents for other areas. And that's what they were doing. They hold our defense hostage. And I didn't like the deal, but after 7 years of serious defense cuts while we're fighting a war, I felt like our military needed it. So I felt like it was two bad options. I took the lesser bad option. We increased the military, but it came with more spending, and that's increased our deficit. And that's exactly what the Democrats do. They hold military hostage to other domestic programs that they want to increase spending on.
And I think that will only be exacerbated under the arrangement with Nancy Pelosi holding the gavel. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Welcome to this Veterans Day edition of Washington Watch. Congressman Don Bacon, my guest, retired general with the United States Air Force. Again, thank you for your service, Congressman, in our military. But I want to, retired. You haven't retired that long ago, just 4 years ago. Now you've been sitting on the House Armed Services Committee. What are your thoughts in terms of the overall state of our military right now?
Well, it was in very bad shape 2 years ago. We had the worst readiness statistics since 1977, which was the Jimmy Carter era. And the Hollow Force, and only half the Navy aircraft could fly. We have 58 combat brigades in the Army. Only three were ready to deploy and do their mission. So I would give us an F 2 years ago. And so we increased that spending by 10% last year. We sustained it this year with inflation. And you're right, you just can't buy yourself out of a hole like that. It takes 4 or 5 years. We've seen progress, but we have to sustain the funding that we have right now, probably with inflation. And if we could do it for 2 or 3 more years, we'll be in a much better spot. But we have like a 15-year holiday for modernization, and buying enough stealth aircraft, enough ships. We're behind in our nuclear enterprise. It is going to take a while to get out of this hole we're in. We're in better shape today than we were 2 years ago, but we have more work to do.
Well, and Congressman, I think the funding is just one aspect when you look at how President Obama used the military to really kind of advance his radical social policy, in my view. What's interesting is I've heard, the reports of the Democratic leadership coming in, and there's some 85 different areas that they want to focus on the Trump administration and have hearings, issue subpoenas, however they're going to go about it. But a couple of them that pertain to the military, and I had to laugh when I saw one of them want to zero in on Trump's politicization of the military. If anything, I think he's trying to untangle how the military has been politicized over the last 8 years.
Yeah, I've seen no evidence of the politicization of the military. I've not seen it. Of course, I was in it. I got out in 14, and it was, when you get to the point where you can't keep your mouth shut and you want to speak against the administration, it's time to retire. That's where I was at. I thought it was time to retire. Now, I think first of all, Secretary of Defense Mattis, we couldn't have had a better Secretary of Defense. I think the president picked the absolute best person for that job, and I've seen that up and down the line on our defense. Our military is in much better shape today than it was 2 years ago. But it's going to require more work and more patience with the funding that we have. We're not asking for more funding. We just need to sustain what we've done with inflation. But you can't just buy yourself out of a hole in 1 or 2 years, like you were saying that earlier. And it's just going to take a while. I mean, we have 1960s PBMs, 1960s bombers. We have our nuclear submarines are losing their shelf life. We have 1970s nuclear command and control technology. So just in our nuclear enterprise, we are, you know, talking about 40-year-old capabilities out there, and we've not replaced them other than the B-2, really. And so we have tons of work right there alone.
And during that time, the rest of the world has not pushed the pause button. They've been moving forward.
No. Fact is, the Russians have brand-new ICBMs, brand-new submarines. Now, their bombers are a little bit more older. But then you look at what the Chinese are doing. They're modernizing their strategic force as well, though it's a lot smaller. We have fallen behind. We have lots of work we got to do in space. The Russians and Chinese have the capability to target our key satellites. So we got to build a resilience and some survivability and then have our own deterrence in that area. And you can go up and down the line. We are behind on shipbuilding. Our F-15s and F-16s would get shot down 200 miles away today from a target. And that's why the F-22 and the F-35 are so critical. But we're behind on that. And that we never want to use these capabilities, but it's a deterrence. When the other side knows that you can't be stopped, they tend to act differently.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the Reagan model of strength, peace through strength. You mentioned the Space Force. That's another area that the Democrats want to zero in on, do oversight hearings, subpoena people in to come and talk about that. Just generally speaking, are you concerned that all of these hearings that are being proposed could be an obstacle for the administration to continue this process of rebuilding?
Well, I think it takes away people's attention from getting the job done, for sure. And this is part of life in Washington when you have two different parties of power. So that's just a fact of life, and it's unfortunate. You know, we didn't have a big blue wave. We didn't have a small blue wave. It was about the average blue wave last week. You know, it could have been worse. I wish it would have been a lot better. But having said that, when it comes to the Space Force, we need something different than what we've had. I've come from the Air Force. I love our leadership in the Air Force. However, it's a fighter pilot culture, and we need a space organization that has a space fighting culture to it. And we have four different services that do acquisition. It's very duplicative. So there are some things that we can do smartly. I don't know that we need a totally separate Space Force, but maybe we need something like a special ops command like we have today that has its unique culture, or something like the Marines, but with the Space Force and the Air Force, where you have a Secretary of the Air Force that watches both. I think there's some middle ground approaches we could do.
Well, we will be watching that one very closely, as well as the new leadership coming in and what they do on the other areas as it pertains to our nation's military. Congressman Bacon, thanks so much for taking time out on this Monday to join us.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Congressman Don Bacon of Nebraska, retired Brigadier General with the United States Air Force. Okay, coming up next, we'll be talking about a case out of Maryland. War monuments, religious freedom. That's next. Don't go away. Tony Perkins here, president of the Family Research Council, inviting you to join Luana and me, General Jerry Boykin, Michelle Bachman, on FRC's first ever D.C. Christian Heritage Tour and Summit in Washington, D.C. on March the 28th through the 31st, 2019. Washington is the epicenter of American politics and the free world. It's also a place that will inspire your faith and your patriotism. With the 5-star Trump International Hotel as home base, your experience will include a tour and dinner at the Museum of the Bible, a private tour of the Capitol, dinner on Capitol Hill, renowned monuments, briefings from national leaders, and, pending approval, a White House briefing. Journey with us as we explore God's providence in America's past, His hand in the present, and His heart for America's future. For more information, visit frc.org/DC Heritage. Again, that's frc.org/DC Heritage for more information about the Christian Heritage Tour and Summit.
Should people be allowed to question their feelings? If a person expresses feelings of same-sex attraction, shouldn't they be allowed to seek professional help if they don't want these feelings? In a country such as ours, the answer should be a no-brainer. Incredibly, some liberal states have banned sexual orientation change efforts, known as SOCE, claiming that they are fraudulent, ineffective, and harmful. But are they? LGBT activists claim that sexual orientation is immutable and can't be changed by therapy or counseling. They also claim that people who attempt to change their sexual orientation end up more depressed and suicidal. As it turns out, studies have shown that sexual orientation change efforts are in fact very effective in helping people overcome unwanted same-sex attractions. For a thorough analysis of all the major studies done on the effectiveness of SOCE, visit frc.org/SOCE. Again, that's frc.org/SOCE.
Choosing the right candidate to vote for can be difficult with all the media spin and political rhetoric. Each candidate will either be part of the problem or part of the solution when it comes to protecting your religious freedom, standing for family values, and defending the sanctity of human life. FRC Action will be traveling across the country on our values bus. We want to keep you up to date on the latest inside news from the campaign trail and inform you about each candidate's positions on our country's most vital issues. Go to valuesbustour.com for more information. Planned Parenthood is the nation's leading abortion supplier and has hailed itself as the champion of women for decades. But nothing could be further from the truth. Sadly, this organization has been caught repeatedly violating the law and violating women, from aiding and abetting sex traffickers, covering up child sexual abuse and selling the remains of aborted baby parts, to ignoring the disastrous effects that abortion has on women's physical and mental health. For more information on how Planned Parenthood is not pro-woman, visit frc.org/Planned Parenthood.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Thanks for joining us on this Veterans Day. All right, last fall, we've talked about this before, but last fall, a federal appeals court ruled that a World War I memorial, which is in the shape of a cross, is unconstitutional. The monument has marked a major intersection in Prince George's County for nearly 100 years. It's known as the Peace Cross. Well, in a 2-1 ruling, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit said the 40-foot-tall memorial has, quote, the primary effect of endorsing religion and excessively entangles the government in religion, end quote. Now, earlier this month, just about a week or so ago, the Supreme Court announced that it will hear the appeal over whether the 40-foot Peace Cross, as is known by locals in Bladensburg, Maryland, is too tall and too Christian for a government to own and maintain in accordance with the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment. Now, this really is at the intersection. We're talking about Veterans Day here. Now, this is a monument that commemorates the sacrifice of those who served in World War I from that county. But it's really the intersection of military memorials and religious liberty. And I believe this is going to, they've taken this case, I believe it's going to be a precedent-setting case. With us now is Mike Berry, Deputy General Counsel and Director of Military Affairs for First Liberty Institute, which is handling this case. Mike, welcome back to Washington Watch.
It's great to be back with you, and Semper Fi and Veterans Day, happy Veterans Day to you.
That's right, Semper Fi, thank you, sir. And I mentioned at the top of the program, you're a Marine veteran as well. So you have double motivation for taking on these military cases. This case really does have the potential to set precedent in a couple of ways. One, for military monuments and memorials, but also for religious liberty.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, on the military side of things, as a veteran myself, it is so important and appropriate that the Supreme Court takes up this case. On behalf of the American Legion, you know, a veteran service organization with over 2 million members, with veterans memorials literally probably in every small town and county across the country. But the lawyer in me also looks at this and says, wow, what an important and precedent-setting opportunity for the Supreme Court to make clear, or hopefully in this case, to clarify that the First Amendment to the Constitution does not require the purge of veterans' memorials and other types of you know, static public displays simply because they happen to contain religious imagery, or in this case, just happen to be in the shape of a cross, which is what was ubiquitously used as you know, as a memorial in the World War I era.
Now, Mike, I got to ask a question, because I would venture to say that this is on the minds of many of our listeners out there. This cross has been in place for 90 years. Until recently, no one saw an issue with it. No one, when they built it, no one thought that this was a violation of the Constitution, the Establishment Clause. 50 years ago, they didn't think that. It's just now. How did the Constitution change all of a sudden to make this unconstitutional?
Well, you know, that's a question that requires a lot of unpacking. But the simple answer is this: through a series of court decisions, and these were courts that were not necessarily friendly to the Constitution as it was originally drafted. These were justices and lower court judges who view the Constitution perhaps as a living document that can be changed according to the whims of society and culture. And through a series of decisions. You know, some of our listeners may be familiar with something called the Lemon Test from the Supreme Court case of Lemon v. Kurtzman. And that test basically says, look, when if somebody looks at that and somehow draws the conclusion that this veterans memorial dedicated to 49 men from Prince George's County, Maryland, just outside of Washington, D.C., who gave their lives in service to this country, sees that memorial and thinks, oh, gosh, it's in the shape of a cross. The government must be, you know, formally establishing Christianity as the religion of the nation, which is, you know, a ridiculous conclusion. But nevertheless, if they somehow draw that conclusion, it's unconstitutional. And what we're arguing for, on behalf of the American Legion, what First Liberty Institute is arguing for at the Supreme Court, is that that is not an appropriate test, and that's not the test that our founders would have envisioned for our country for the First Amendment. And so that, again, it's a great opportunity to defend both religious liberty for our veterans and for people in the military, and to remember those who gave the ultimate sacrifice. But it's also a great opportunity to do some housekeeping on the First Amendment and what it really means.
And Mike Berry, I would say that you talk about the evolution, so to speak, of the court decisions that led us to this point. And if it's not stopped, if this advancement of this view that the Constitution is malleable and can be changed to whatever outcome you want, if the line is not drawn here and defended, we will see a purge from public life of every reflection of our Christian heritage.
Yeah, and we need not look any further than Arlington National Cemetery, because the Bladensburg Veterans Memorial sits in Maryland, which is part of the Fourth Circuit, the Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit, which is the judicial circuit that includes Virginia, Arlington, Virginia. And so, it absolutely would mean, if we were to lose this case, or if the Supreme Court were not to have taken up this case, that the lower court decision saying that this Bladensburg Veterans Memorial is unconstitutional, that would also extend and apply to the crosses, the large freestanding crosses that we see in Arlington National Cemetery. And then, you know, it's no stretch of the imagination to see the groups like the American Humanist Association, who filed the lawsuit to begin with, taking that and running with it, right, and trying to apply that nationwide.
Right.
So
right.
I think this gets us back to why this case is important. And let's not, you know, forget the fact that that is also why it is so vitally important who sits on the Supreme Court, mm-hmm. and the importance of you know, nominating and confirming justices who will adhere to the original meaning of the Constitution.
We're out of time, Mike, but very quickly, what's the time frame on this case?
We're likely to have an oral argument sometime in the spring, with a decision sometime, you know, in the summer, late spring, early summer.
All right. Mike Berry, as always, great to have you on the program. Appreciate all the work that First Liberty does on behalf of our first freedom.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Mike Berry, First Liberty. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right. When we come back, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton joins us to talk about the outreach and initiative of his office to help veterans to utilize their skills and their talents when they come back home. That's next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away. Tony Perkins here, president of the Family Research Council, inviting you to join Luana and me, General Jerry Boykin, Michelle Bachman, on FRC's first ever D.C. Christian Heritage Tour and Summit in Washington, D.C. on March the 28th through the 31st, 2019. Washington is the epicenter of American politics and the free world. It's also a place that will inspire your faith and your patriotism. With the five-star Trump International Hotel as home base, your experience will include a tour and dinner at the Museum of the Bible, a private tour of the Capitol, dinner on Capitol Hill, renowned monuments, briefings from national leaders, and, pending approval, a White House briefing. Journey with us as we explore God's providence in America's past, His hand in the present, and His heart for America's future. For more information, visit frc.org/DC Heritage. Again, that's frc.org/DC Heritage for more information about the Christian Heritage Tour and Summit.
Is Planned Parenthood a champion for women? In reality, Planned Parenthood is the nation's leading killer of unborn children. Despite this, they have been hailing themselves as the voice of women for decades. But nothing could be further from the truth. Sadly, this organization has been caught repeatedly violating the law and violating women, from aiding and abetting sex traffickers, covering up child sexual abuse, and selling the remains of aborted baby parts, to ignoring the disastrous effects that abortion has on women's physical and mental health. From its racist eugenic roots to the targeting of vulnerable communities today, their scandals continue to pile up. Planned Parenthood's current motto is care, no matter what. A more fitting motto would be profit, no matter what. For more information on how Planned Parenthood is not pro-woman, visit frc.org/Planned Parenthood. Again, that's frc.org/Planned Parenthood.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Welcome to this Veterans Day edition of Washington Watch. Yesterday was Veterans Day, but today is the official holiday. And by the way, a belated happy birthday to all my fellow Marines out there from Saturday. As we observe the holiday of Veterans Day to pay tribute and honor to those who have served our country, according to the Federal Department of Veteran Affairs, there are more than 21 million veterans in the United States. Now, joining the show now is someone who has made a great effort to employ veterans in his office from all branches of the U.S. military, along with surviving spouses and orphans of veterans. The veteran recruiter himself, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton. Ken, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
And by the way, congratulations on your recent reelection to Attorney General there in the state of Texas.
Hey, thanks. It's nice to have it behind me and have another 4 years to try to do some good.
Well, you're doing a lot of great good, a lot of good things there in the Lone Star State. But one of them that caught our attention is the work that you do in really kind of recruiting veterans, helping them use their skills and talents that they've gained in serving our country to serve there in your office. Tell us about it.
So that's absolutely true. We've made an effort since I've been in office to focus on hiring veterans that are qualified. And so at this point, 7% of our workforce is veteran. And since I've been in office, we've ratcheted up to hiring about 10% veterans in our workforce.
What was the motivation behind this when you came in as Attorney General?
You know, part of it for me, I think I'm from a military family. My father was an Air Force pilot. And I've seen these guys, you know, they retire after serving their country. I've always thought that they deserved opportunities. They tend to be very qualified, hardworking, obviously very patriotic. They care about our country, and there's no reason we shouldn't try to take care of these people, especially given that they've been in the Air Force, Army, Marine, Navy, working for a lot less than what, you know, honestly, what they deserve to be paid.
Well, in they're having employed people for a number of years, I find that veterans oftentimes come with a unique skill set that helps in various environments. But even military.com lists top reasons to hire vets: accelerated learning curve, leadership, teamwork, diversity, inclusion in action, efficient performance under pressure, respect for procedure, which I think is important, especially when you're in your field. They have an understanding of technology and its application. There's integrity. And there's a generally overall sense of willingness to sacrifice for the benefit of others.
Right. And they tend to be really good team players, which is important to me when we're on a mission to make a difference in our state, our country. We need people that can buy into the mission and are willing to commit to the mission and willing to sacrifice for the mission. And these people tend to be like that. I just hired a guy that was a Navy SEAL for 25 years. He's my executive aide, and he definitely shows those qualities. He's an amazing guy and has some amazing background that, I can't get other places.
Yeah, it wouldn't hurt to have a Navy SEAL at your side.
Yeah, he's about 6'3", 6'4", too, so that doesn't hurt either.
It doesn't. Well, speaking of priorities, Attorney General Ken Paxton, what's at the top of your list now? Re-election's behind you. Back to not that you weren't doing it before, but what's at the top of your list in terms of the state of Texas and what's happening across the landscape there?
So we have a lot of issues to deal with. One is human trafficking. We're the second worst state in the country. I started a human trafficking and transnational crime unit. So we're really focused on trying to eliminate human trafficking in our state. Obviously, that's not going to happen just because of us. We have to leverage our resources by educating people, prosecuting it, and then partnering with all kinds of different citizen groups and coalitions across the state, even across the country. We're also very focused on voter fraud. The narrative has been that there is no voter fraud. The reality is that we are finding that voter fraud is prevalent in my state, and we haven't had a lot of resources to deal with it. We're asking the legislature to give us a few more resources to go after it. We will keep those people busy because we are finding voter fraud as a very prevalent issue over the last couple of years.
And the problem with it, it's been around a long time. I mean, I go back to involved in a Senate race 20 years ago in Louisiana where there was voter fraud. But when we have elections that are more so narrowly won because we have increasingly polarization or division, however you want to describe it, just a handful of votes that are fraudulently cast or not counted could throw an election.
There's no doubt. We had an election that we lost, a Republican state rep that lost by 40 votes down in the Houston area. I mean, if there's just a little bit of voter fraud, a few years ago we had an election decided by, I think it was like 18 votes in a House race, and we ended up winning that one. Fortunately, the Republicans won it, and it was a 76-74 majority in Texas. Had we not won that, it would have been a tie in the House, Texas House.
All the more reason we have to ensure one man, one vote, and that every vote counts, and that when people cast their vote, they know that it is being counted. Attorney General Ken Paxton, thanks so much for joining us today, and thanks for what you're doing on behalf of veterans.
Hey, thank you very much, Tony. Have a great day.
All right, you too. Attorney General Ken Paxton from the state of Texas. All right, and look, about that voter fraud, I mean, you see what's happening in Florida and these other places where these elections are so close. Every vote matters. And so if there's fraudulent votes or there's votes not being counted, that's a big problem. All right, when we come back, we're going to go to the phone lines, and we're going to talk to veterans today. From your perspective, do you like what President Trump is doing for our nation's military? What's left to be done? And what do you think he should do when it comes to Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats in the military? That's next here on Washington Watch. Give us a call, 866-372-7234. Your phone calls next. Don't go away.
Are you ready to vote? Which candidates are actually speaking up for you and your values? Choosing the right candidate to vote for can be difficult with all the media spin and political rhetoric. Each candidate will either be a part of the problem or part of the solution when it comes to preserving and protecting your religious freedom, family values, and the sanctity of human life. You can be a part of the solution and make your voice heard by pledging to pray, vote, and stand for your values. FRC Action will be traveling across the country on our Values Bus to meet values voters like you this fall. We want to keep you up to date on the latest inside news from the campaign trail and help to inform you about each candidate's positions on our country's most vital issues. Go to valuesbusttour.com for our tour dates, voter guides, and so much more. Be a part of the movement. pledge to pray, vote, and stand for your values. Again, go to valuesbustour.com and be a part of the movement.
Tony Perkins here, President of the Family Research Council, inviting you to join Luana and me, General Jerry Boykin, Michelle Bachman, on FRC's first ever D.C. Christian Heritage Tour and Summit in Washington, D.C. on March the 28th through the 31st, 2019. Washington is the epicenter of American politics and the free world. It's also a place that will inspire your faith and your patriotism. With the five-star Trump International Hotel as home base, your experience will include a tour and dinner at the Museum of the Bible, a private tour of the Capitol, dinner on Capitol Hill, renowned monuments, briefings from national leaders, and, pending approval, a White House briefing. Journey with us as we explore God's providence in America's past, His hand in the present, and His heart for America's future. For more information, visit frc.org/DC Heritage. Again, that's frc.org/DC Heritage for more information about the Christian Heritage Tour and Summit.
Planned Parenthood is the nation's leading abortion supplier and has hailed itself as the champion of women for decades. But nothing could be further from the truth. Sadly, this organization has been caught repeatedly violating the law and violating women, from aiding and abetting sex traffickers, covering up child sexual abuse, and selling the remains of aborted baby parts, to ignoring the disastrous effects that abortion has on women's physical and mental health. For more information on how Planned Parenthood is not pro-woman, visit frc.org/Planned Parenthood.
Should people be allowed to question their feelings? If a person expresses feelings of same-sex attraction, shouldn't they be allowed to seek professional help if they don't want these feelings? In a country such as ours, the answer to these questions should be a no-brainer. Incredibly, some liberal states have banned sexual orientation change efforts, claiming they are ineffective and harmful. But are they? Studies have shown that sexual orientation change efforts are very effective in helping people overcome unwanted same-sex attractions. To find out more, visit frc.org/SOCE.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Over the weekend, celebrating the Marine Corps birthday as well as Veterans Day, but today is the official federal holiday of Veterans Day. So this is, we're doing a special focus today on veterans. And, you know, the president, in my view, has done a really good job in what he had to work with and trying to rebuild our nation's military from both what we were talking about earlier with Congressman Bacon, the material, increased funding to try to get planes flying again, get weapons, discover or do experimentation to get new weapon system development, I should say, research and development. And then also the morale, which was in the tank under the previous administration. What's going to happen now with Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats taking over the House and essentially trying to undo all the president has done? So here's what I want to do. I want to talk to veterans today. You like what the president has been doing in the last 2 years for our nation's military? What else do you think he needs to continue to do? And how aggressively should he fight Nancy Pelosi and crew when it comes to our nation's military? 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. Let's go to John in Mississippi. John, welcome to Washington Watch.
All right. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Now, I think he's doing Mr. Trump is doing the exact right thing. He just needs to continue doing the same thing. My dad was in World War One, so that's a long ways back. But I'll tell you, when they elected President Obama, and this is really a shout out to a lot of the Democrats, black Democrats that elected him, this man had no experience in anything other than being a community organizer. He knew nothing about finance, nothing about the military, and we shouldn't be surprised at the result. Because when you elect somebody because of the color of their skin, just like Martin Luther King said, content of one's character. That's how we elect people. So what he did, he ran it up to $20 trillion because it's like giving a kid a credit card. And he didn't know nothing about keeping the planes maintained. And he knew nothing. That's an indictment. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves electing anybody with no experience whatsoever to the highest office on the planet.
Well, good point, John. Thanks so much for calling, and thank you for your service and the service of your family to our country. Just one point, you know, I don't think you have to have military service to know how to relate to and lead the military. I think it's beneficial, not necessary. In fact, I guess maybe that could even be a positive not to have at least spent a lot of time in the military culture, because sometimes if you're too indoctrinated, it's hard to see it objectively and change it. But to John's point, you need some experience at running something large. And, you know, Donald Trump clearly has been running businesses successfully. I think that, again, from my vantage point, he has done a good job in trying to restore our military. And it's not just the material. It's also trying to put an end, and not just push the pause button on the social experimentation that Obama was so focused on in the military. In fact, if you read some of those that ran his military for him, they have said the only time he showed any type of interest is when it was the social programs. That's when he was interested in the military, because he used the military to advance his agenda, clearly. 866-372-7234. Let's go to Shelley in Texas. Shelley, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you for taking my call. First of all, my grandfather served teaching pilots in World War I before there was an Air Force. My father served at the tail end of World War II as a decoder, and my son-in-law has had one tour of duty in Iraq and two in Afghanistan, and I can never stop being thankful and remembering the sacrifices of our veterans in service to their country and in service to freeing other countries as well. That's number one. Number two, I'm really thankful for Donald Trump, who is leading, who is doing what needs to be done for America. And I'm also very, very thankful to be a Texan and to have our Governor Abbott and his team. They're just doing an excellent job building freedom for families and for business here in Texas. So I guess today I'm very thankful.
Well, thank you, Shelley. Thank you for the call, and thank you for your family's long history of serving our nation. And I think it's so important that we celebrate, recognize those who have both sacrificed, those who have been willing to sacrifice, those who serve. And so few families are really, I wasn't surprised. I mean, it's just not that many people actually serve in the military, about 1% of the population when you actually look at it. And so it's important to remind people that, as Shelley said, freedom is comes at a high price. And we have to be vigilant to protect it, to defend it. And a strong military is central to that. And as I think it was Congressman Bacon saying earlier, we don't want to use these weapons and these instruments of destruction. But if we have them, there's a greater likelihood we won't have to use them. Rather than if we don't have what we need, we're going to be in a defensive posture, and we're going to be in a position to have to use maybe the ultimate form of destruction. And that's where really where we find ourselves in. If we can fight more conventional warfare with the latest technology, we won't be pressed into a corner where we would have to use a nuclear capabilities that we have. All right. Again, 866-372-7234, the number to call. I got distracted there. Let's go to Bill in Alabama. Bill, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. I'm a veteran in 1970 to 72. Didn't serve in Vietnam or anything. I served stateside only. But my comment is that when you had that congressperson on, that they didn't know what to do. My feeling is, and it may be the wrong thing, I'm just thinking there's nothing that is going to get through the Senate as far as, funding all these social programs, that they ought to be lockstep and vote against everything that comes out of the House.
I hope they'll take that stand. I'm a little concerned that, as I said earlier, that I think the Democrats know the weakness of Republicans when it comes to negotiations, and I think they will perceive they have them over a barrel, and they will demand an increase in, you know, domestic program spending in order to maintain the trajectory of the military. I was having a conversation with a member last week as to whether or not I think that when it came to these negotiations, whether or not the Republicans would hold firm and let Nancy Pelosi and them shut down the government because they wouldn't, agree with the president on his policies. And I don't know. We'll see. The Republicans have never really shown the real intestinal fortitude with, well, I shouldn't say never. On few occasions, they have done that. But I'm with you, Bill. I think they should dig in and say, nope, just like what they did, just like what the Democrats did to the Republicans when the Republicans were in the majority. Bill, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you listening. And thank you, Bill, for your service to our country. 866-372-7234. Going to work in a few more calls here. Let's go to Tom in Louisiana. Tom, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi. Thank you, sir. And how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing quite well. And yourself?
I appreciate great. I'm a 3-year veteran of Vietnam War. My father came from Sicily, became an American citizen, went to World War II. All my kids went in the military. We need a strong military to keep this country free. If we don't, we're going to be just like all these other third world countries, constantly in chaos. And that, I agree what Trump is doing. Yes, he doesn't have any military experience, but he's doing the best he can with what he's got.
I agree with you, Tom. Thanks so much for the call. Thank you for your service and the service of your family. 866-372-7234, or you can email me, tony@tonyperkins.com. Let's go to Gail in Tennessee. Gail, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you for taking my call. I am very pleased with our president. He loves our military. He respects our military. The last 8 years proved to me that Obama's administration is definitely not what we want. I think a lot of people had their eyes opened, and those of us in the military, my husband served for 20 years. He was in the U.S. Air Force, and he retired as a captain. He did go to Southeast Asia. He went to Thailand. He flew CH-53s then, and he transitioned to fixed wing, and he was an instructor at Columbus Air Force Base, Mississippi, and he was a detachment commander at Acre Air Force Base in Blytheville, Arkansas. We have done our fair share of moving. We have been married 51 years. I'm a wife, a mother, a homemaker, and all of our military members deserve far more respect than what we got from the last administration. We will never forget. We will never forget. And we are pleased with everything that President Trump is doing in spite of, the brick walls that they keep blowing up. But we prayed this man into office, Tony. We prayed this man into office. So when it comes to the Democrats having control of the House, if we can get our minority leader in, Jim Jordan, things will really be looking great. We will get things done because we are backing this president 110%.
Well, Gail, thank you so much for the call, and thank you for your family's willingness to serve and make those sacrifices that are required for those who serve in our nation's military. And it is a sacrifice, but it's a privilege. You know, my 3 years in the Marine Corps and I was in during peacetime. Just happened to be when I was in. I think I was telling this to my son a while back. I got far more from the military than, I mean, yes, I was honored to serve. It was a great opportunity, but I got so much from it. It was probably one of the most, in terms of shaping me and preparing me for future undertakings. I mean, I never envisioned when I enlisted at 17 years old that I would be involved in politics or public office. You know, my career path was to be in law enforcement, which I did for about 10 years. And then the Lord redirected my steps into politics. But I would tell you, some of the best training I received that applied to the political world was in the Marine Corps. Because they teach you certain basic things, taking you beyond what you think is possible, and learning, you know, to serve, and learning that oftentimes the price that comes with that, the things that you miss. But again, it was not at all, from my perspective, a sacrifice on my behalf. It was a great privilege to serve in our nation's military. I gained so much from it, and it was during the years of Ronald Reagan. So that was when, even though the military in post-Vietnam, the post-Vietnam era was not well regarded, I'm so grateful that people have a much higher respect for our nation's military and the men and women who are coming back from Afghanistan and Iraq. I had men that I served with that had been in Vietnam. In fact, my first sergeant who I served with had been a machine gunner in Vietnam, and he was telling me the stories about when they came back from Vietnam, how people were spitting on them, and just how the left just railed against our military. And I think they learned, obviously the left learned a lesson from that. Now they want to promote the military, which is good, at least in word, but I want to see them do it in deed. And that's what I think the Republicans should challenge the Democrats in this new Congress to fund our military, to stand with our men and women in uniform, because a strong military does keep the peace. And that's ultimately our goal. Our goal is not to go to war. It is to prevent war, going back to the old adage that Ronald Reagan made well known. Peace through strength. You have a strong military, a strong country, nobody's going to mess with you. You know, that's what we need. And I think we need to hold the Democrats accountable for that, to that, and push them. But I want to, as our time wraps up here, I do want to thank all those. Sorry I didn't get the rest of the phone calls. I want to thank you all for calling in today. But I just want to say a parting word to all of those men and women who have been willing to serve our country. As John 15:13 says, greater love hath no man than to be willing to lay down his life for his friends. That's what makes America great. And I'm grateful for those young men and women who are still willing to serve. All right, until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.